The time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, we are streaming live on Facebook, streaming live on KCOFM.com, streaming live on our Paragon Communications app on your phone, which is, by the way, a free download. And you can listen to anything you want any of the stations that's affiliated with us here, and at any time you want with that free app. Also, we are on 96.5 KECO and 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward. A little chilly this morning, huh? Yeah, it was scraping some ice along the river there south of Sarah this morning, so it got pretty cold. Looks like the coldest, I had it up here, let me get back to it, there it is. Looks like the chilliest spot in Oklahoma this morning was in Miami, Bonita, Nevada. They come in at a whopping 27 degrees. Looks like Buffalo and Hooker, you were the low point up north at 28, I believe, and that's at the Mesonet Centers. Current temperatures around the area right now, looks like the warmest spot in the state is right here in the southwest corner. Hollis, Altus, and Tipton, you are all at 56 degrees. Mangum, you're at 55. Hobart, 50. Elk City, 46. Cheyenne, 47. Arnett, 47. And Woodward, 46. Basically in the high 40s to, well, I take that back. Putnam and Camargo, you're at 44 right now. So anyway, it was a little chilly, and it looks like it's going to get a little bit more chillier tonight. Today, later on in the program, I'm going to have Lacey Landers from the Ellis County Conservation District on the show with me from up there in the Arnett-Shattuck area, in that area right in there. She'll be on later with me. She's got some news that came out yesterday, so we'll let her share that with us a little later on. And today is Stockman's Veterinary Happy Cap Hour, by the way. I need to change that. I really want to go, it's the Dr. Taylor Mouse Happy Hour, so she'll get credit for that, going to her school she's been going to on the weekends up at OSU. I don't know if she's getting her master's or what she's doing, or if she's going to be like a double vet or whatever. But anyway, I really want to change it to Dr. Taylor Mouse Happy Hour. But we'll stick with Stockman's. Anyway, I'll have more about that later up coming on. Let's see what's happening in the grain world. Everything is in the red. Everything but cattle is in the red today. Corn for December is $6.79. March, $6.85. May, $6.86. Soybeans, November, $13.70. January, $13.78. March, $13.84. Soybean meal, December, $3.99.90 a ton, short ton it is. January is $3.96.30. March is $3.91.30. Soybean oil, December, $68.13. January, $66.02. March, $64.13. Hard red winter wheat, December, $9.41. March, $9.39. December, $9.50. Oats, December, $3.85. March, $3.89. They're down back below the $4 mark pretty good. Cotton, still going backwards, but I'm talking fractions. It's still in the 83-cent pound range like it has been for the last 4 days, but it's in the red at 0.0006. So 83 cents a pound for December, 82 cents for March. Let's see what's going on as far as cash at the elevator, if you got anything to sell. Hard red winter wheat, $8.91. It's taking a pretty good hit today already. Corn is 780, milo 715, and soybeans are 1348. Well, I can tell you without even looking at this sheet of paper what's causing the chaos. Yep. Wheat and corn futures dropped in overnight trading after the news that the Russian Deputy Defense Minister and the United Nations Undersecretary General are to discuss the agreement allowing Ukrainian agriculture exports. Why some believe the grain deal should be extended. Basically, it's same old stuff with them. One day, President Putin is wanting to eliminate it or renegotiate the deal, and next day somebody's talking about something else. So anyway, it's hit the market pretty hard though this morning. Exports from Ukraine in the first 17 days of October totaled 2.12 million tons of grain, down only slightly from pre-war levels. Wheat futures for December delivery fell 7¾ cents to $8.53¼ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures lost 6 pennies to $9.46 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery was down 5¾ to $6.77¾ a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 6 cents to $13.85¾ a bushel. Soybean meal dropped $3.60 to $407.40 a short ton, while soybean oil gained 53 cents to $67.37 a pound. Inspections of soybeans for overseas delivery jumped week to week, while corn assessments were modestly lower, according to the data from the United States Department of Agriculture. Soybean inspections in the 7 days that ended on October 13th rose to 1.88 million metric tons. That's up from 976,000 tons a week earlier. That's still well below the 2.45 million tons assessed during the same week a year earlier. Examinations for corn for offshore delivery declined to 448,000 metric tons. That's down about, 10,000 tons from the previous week. And way down from last year, like 1.04 million tons examined back in 2021. On wheat assessments last week plunged to 231,842 metric tons. That's way down from 615,868 tons a week earlier. That's still higher than the 142,000 tons examined last year in 2021. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the United States Department of Agriculture has inspected 3.29 million metric tons of corn for overseas delivery. That's down from a little over 4 million last year. Soybean assessments since the beginning of September now stand at 4.67 million metric tons, and that's down from a little over, just a skosh over 6 million tons last year, 2021. Wheat inspections since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st stands now at 9.36 million metric tons, and that's up from 9.34 last year. But guess what? Freeze warnings in effect from Colorado to the Atlantic Ocean. Freeze warnings have spread through much of the United States, especially the southern part, and now range in from Colorado to the Atlantic Ocean. From northern Kansas through the Gulf Coast, according to the maps from the National Weather Service, in southwestern Kansas, in the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, temperatures overnight were expected to drop as low as 28 degrees. In a report early this morning, another freeze warning already has been issued for tonight and will take effect at 11 o'clock till 9 a.m. in the morning. In central Illinois, meanwhile, temperatures are expected to fall as low as 26 degrees by sunrise in the morning. Well, Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main in Elk City. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt chute on site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccination, boarding with indoor-outdoor runs, full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections, and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital X-ray. Also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species. I know she does farm calls because she was on Snapchat yesterday morning. She had to go draw blood from 100 head of horses, so she was pretty busy yesterday morning. Call 580-225-0200 or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows. When I get back, we'll talk some about cattle, and it's also Hay Day Tuesdays, so maybe we'll sneak some hay reports in before I get on with a conversation with Miss Lacey Landers from up there at the Ellis County Conservation District. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Good afternoon to all the great stewards of the land. Drew Cobb here with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 14th. 1,944 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 442 brought 181. 9 at 502 brought 176. 6 at 554 brought 151. 7 at 599 brought 158. 6 at 653 brought 143. 17 at 696 brought 162. 5 at 792 brought 146. 3 head of heifers at 357 brought 160. 11 at 420 brought 161. 7 at 485 brought 152. 6 at 571 brought 142, 11 at 636 brought 148, 8 at 663 brought 136, 7 at 703 brought 138, butcher cows were 31 to 78.50, butcher bulls brought 74.50 to 95, bred cows were 700 to 1360, pairs brought 925 to 1485. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. You can sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
When somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle. No matter where it may be, if you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
From pump to pump. pivot. Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Currently, according to the Gabe Gadget Measurement Center here in our studio, it's 48.4 degrees here in Elk City, 36% humidity, 2.5 miles an hour wind, and I don't know, that can't be right. It shows we got 8,300 terrain last night, and I know we didn't, but anyway, that must be for the month. Anyway, I seen this on Facebook here a while back, and I mentioned it again, I'm going to mention it again, so there's a lot of thieving going on right now. Be careful where you park your equipment, stack your hay, the whole nine yards, because there's been hay getting stolen. I'm not talking about a bale. I'm talking about semi-loads have been loaded up and hauled off. So be careful what you're doing. Here, there's a four-wheel drive Kubota M9960 tractor was taken from over there by Highway 44 and 152 Junction there south of Burns Flat. Tractor had a Kubota LA1353 front loader with bucket on it. The reward is $5,000 for information leading to the recovery of this tractor. And you can call the Ouachita County Sheriff's Department if you know anything, or text 580-243-8431. 243-8431 if you got any information on the whereabouts of this tractor. So this would be great, man. Tractor's the backbone of the farm as far as I'm concerned, besides your wife. I mean, don't get me wrong, or husband if it's the wife running the farm and the husband's doing the other stuff. So anyway, but yeah, just bad thing, keep an eye on your stuff. And if you guys got anything that's missing, you need to put it on the show. The text line is always open during the show. And if you don't get it in before 1 o'clock, just try again the next day, because there's a lot of text messages come through this system here, and they get deleted without me seeing them the next day. So you got anything going on with thieving or cattle missing or anything like that, I'll be glad to pass it along. I don't care if you're in southern Kansas, western Oklahoma Panhandle, or eastern Texas, anywhere in our listening area, if you're listening in, I will not mind doing that at all. Also, if you're looking for hay, I know yesterday I got busy. There was a gentleman texting in looking for some round bales of Bermuda grass, and I'm sorry I ran out of time. Joe and I was having too much fun, but if you'll retext me in today, I'll pass that information on. Or if you got hay to sell or you're needing to buy hay, we call it hay-dio here on the Today in Ag show. So I'll be glad to pass it along. I'm not trying to turn this into a tradio show, but it's a different kind of year this year, and people are in a bind for buying hay or needing hay, and I don't mind helping out any at all. Well, let's check out some cattle futures. If I can get to it. Also today, Jerry Nines having his cow and bull sale up there at Woodward today. I'll have results for you for that tomorrow. And I got some results from Elk City and Western Oklahoma Livestock coming up here in just a second. Live cattle for October, 148.20. Everything's in the green today. 149.67 for December, 152.67 for February. April is 155.97. Feeder cattle, October 174.92. November 178.12. Lean hogs, December 86.57. February 87.77. April 91.75. All right, let's look up at this text message that I got really late last night from Mr. Brandon Hickey. And let's see here, and I haven't looked at them yet, so this is going to be all. Let's start with Elk City last Friday. There was almost 2,000 head there, 1,944 to be exact. Let's go with this bunch from Cheyenne that weighed 502, brought a 176 on steers. And then we got some from Raiden, 43 head to be exact, 567 pounds, brought $1.73. Here's some from McLean, Texas, 599, brought $1.58. And there was some from Wheeler that was 599, brought $1.64. And then from Durham, 696s, brought $1.62. On the heifer side, kind of all the same price from, I mean, not too bad. On the heifers, had some weighing 420 from Pampa, brought $1.63. From El Dorado, 485s, 152. We got some from Raiden that weighed 581, $1.37. Mobidi, Texas, 597, $1.54. Some from Wheeler, weighed 643, $154 bucks per hundredweight. Butcher cows looked like they were down. 7850 was the highest end. And then bulls looked like they were down too, also at Elk City, with $95 per hundredweight. Bred cows were bringing up to 1360, and pairs were bringing up to almost $1,500. So over here yesterday at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction on I-40, looks like he had 1,776 head. On the steers, they had 466 pounders, $1.75. Some weaned ones weighing 616, $1.71. Pretty good. 655 weights, $1.73 were winged. 706, $1.72.50. So it looks like if your cattle's winged right now, you're going to get a little bit of a bonus. Or other way, if they're not winged, you're going to get deducted. But that's pretty normal. But that point spread has widened out a lot in the last month. There wasn't a whole lot of difference between winged and non-winged last month. This month, there's about anywhere from 8 to 15 cents different. On heifers, looks like they're a little better. At Clinton yesterday, almost 50 head, weighing 415, brought $1.78. 70 head from Foss, weighing 656, $1.67. And from Sealing, Oklahoma, 20 head, weighing 765, $1.62. Butcher cows were bringing up to 82 cents yesterday, and butcher bulls were bringing up to 102 per hundred weight. So that was what was happening in Clinton yesterday, or at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction in Clinton. How's that? Anyway, when I come back, I'll have Lacey Lander from the Ellis County Conservation District on with me. She's got some added information from what Cassandra was in here last week with about. And before I forget, let me look this up since we're talking cattle. Hey, where'd you go? There it is. Guess what's coming up pretty quick in Roger Mills County. The Roger Mills County cattlemen will be holding their annual meeting and dinner October 24th at 6 p.m. October 24th at 6 p.m. The meeting will be at the Red Barn Arena, 1 mile south of the four-way stop in Cheyenne. We will have a speaker from Hemp Hill County Extension, Andy Holloway. Dues will be collected at the meeting. Their base dues are $20, and dues with the scholarship donation, $25, used for the Earl Bottom Memorial Scholarship. Dues can be mailed to the Roger Mills County Cattlemen's Management Association, and it's box 611, Cheyenne, Oklahoma, 73628. Box 611, Cheyenne, Oklahoma, 73628. The Roger Mills County Cattlemen will be having their annual meeting coming up October 24th at 6 p.m. There we go. I'll pass that along a couple more times before the 24th, and it's only 6 days away. Anyway, be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
With a small farmer or big farmer, if you can save, you know, a few dollars here and there over a course of a year or 2 years, it might be $1,000, it might be $2,000, it might be $50. I would like to keep my $50 and spend it on something else that I enjoy. I mean, that's the way my mind works. If I can save a few cents here and there, and at the end of the year I have $1,000 more, then I get to go enjoy it. Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. We have a 50-mile radius that we have free delivery, 500 gallons or more. If you want under 500 gallons, then we have a minimal charge.
500 gallons of free delivery, I mean, you know, you can't ask for more than that. My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Myself, I'm fourth generation customer there at First National Bank. You get a lot of loyal customers there at First National because we don't change a lot. This is who we are. You can come in and talk to us if you have a difficult situation, and we're going to do what we can to get you through it. And right now in this economy, that's a big plus to have in a bank. Somebody that will roll with you, because right now you're rolling with the punches. Everybody is. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. We are currently 49 degrees here at the station. Looks like it's just high, mid-50s, range it back to the high 40s all from one end of the state to the other right now. And I'll have your northwestern Oklahoma forecast coming up for you on this next break, along with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for southwestern Oklahoma. I feel like I'm about as busy as Lacey Swope sometimes when it comes to the radio. But on the radio with me right now is Lacey Landers, no kin to Lacey Swope or Lacey Lowry. Is that correct?
True.
I've been giving her a hard time for a week about one or the other. She's not claiming either. So anyway, but hey, it is what it is, right?
It is. Not that I don't want to claim them. I just don't want to confuse anyone.
Okay. Lacey, you're with the Ellis County. Man, I was talking about Roger Mills a while ago. I almost said Roger Mills. But the Ellis County Conservation District. And how long have you been there at their district there?
I've been with the Conservation District for about 2.5 years.
Okay. And you're originally, did you tell me you grew up in Leedy, is that correct?
I am originally from Dewey County, the Leedy and Ray area.
We might have
My
to have you.
My family still has a farm and ranch there.
Are you on speakerphone by chance?
I'm not, but it sounds terrible.
Yes. Oh, hang on. I can fix that real quick. My fault. Now talk.
Is this better?
Oh, that was my fault. Sorry.
Oh, thanks a lot. I was nervous anyway, and then you make me sound bad.
Well, I didn't want anybody to be confused you with a Lacey Swope or Lowry. So.
I told you you'd be sadly disappointed.
I know. Sorry. There's one button I'm not supposed to push when somebody's on the phone with me, and guess what? I had that button pushed.
Oh, thanks so much.
I know. But anyway, and so you grew up around the Leedy area, and you're up around Arnett, I guess, right now, huh?
I did, yes. I grew up around Leedy and Ray, and our office for the Ellis County Conservation District is in Arnett.
Okay, cool. I know some people from Arnett. Some of them I love, some of them I don't, so I'll talk about the ones I do. I'm just kidding. I love it. I don't know anybody I'd hate up there. Anyway, Rocky Whitson, my buddy from out, if you take Arnett and you go southeast over there, kind of where Lori Campbell is over in that area. I think they're neighbors back down there along the river. They're pretty close to the river. He's the back way to go to the Pack Saddle Bar if you're coming from Viasat. How's that?
That's a very accurate description. I like that. I like that description a lot.
I don't want everybody to think that I'm a drunk, because I'm not, but when we quail hunt a lot, that's the only place to eat over there, so that's where we go eat.
It's a good spot to hit if you're traveling that way.
It is. It really is. Well, you and I were talking some before we got come back on the air, and it is confusing. And I know some people think that the conservation districts, like the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District down here, and you got the Ellis County one there, and you got the Dewey County, they're always confused with the NRCS. And you guys are partners in a roundabout way, but it's you're state run, correct?
That's correct. We are partners. The conservation districts assisting and advocating for the farmers and ranchers, it goes back to the Dust Bowl. Unlike the federal agencies, we were originally formed on more of a rationale that local leadership was what would be best. I read in some documents that I was provided when I first started that, you know, FDR thought that would be less resistant on the local level if there was local leadership rather than from the orders coming from the top. They started with the precedence that local people would better know what was needed in their area. And that's a big difference in what most of the USDA does and the conservation districts. The district always have a 5-member board that are local farmers and ranchers in the area. We have laws and rules that come down from the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, but the directors make the really big decisions and make those decisions on what programs and services that we offer based on what the local producers need. So that's a big difference. We are partners. Some of the districts are housed within the USDA buildings or agencies. Some are not. Some of the conservation districts align with county boundaries, some don't. One thing that is similar to county by county is the programs. Like the state cost share program that eventually we're going to talk about, we get the basic rules from the Conservation Commission. However, the funding is allocated per county, and then the practices and the reimbursement rates and the deadlines are all set different for each individual county.
Right.
So when we get to talking about specifics, everybody keep in mind, this is just for Ellis County. If your land lies in Ellis County, that's where you have to apply for cost share. You don't get to merge counties like you can with your USDA records. If you have land in Dewey County and land in Ellis County, either one of the FSA offices can try to facilitate transferring those records to one, so you don't have to make two stops. But that is not the case with the cost share program.
It is county specific. Exactly. Well,
yes.
You guys, that kind of clears it up. And then I seen on an email, I think it was from you. I know it was from you. Hang on here. Let me bring it up. There it is.
So I made it clear as mud?
It is clear as mud, but I wondered about it last week when Cassandra was talking about the board, the drought commission, and I didn't think to ask her who was on that drought commission, but on this, the emergency drought commission consists of the Oklahoma Secretary of Agriculture, Blaine Arthur, the Oklahoma Water Resources Board Director, Julie Cunningham, and Oklahoma Conservation Commission Executive Director, Trey Lamb. So that's it. It answered your email answered my question. Because I was
wonderful. I feel much more comfortable sending an email than talking to you live on air anyway.
Oh, you got the perfect radio face. Don't worry. Last week Cassandra was on here talking with me from the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District, and they released $3 million, this board did, released $3 million in drought assistance to all 77 counties. But what happened yesterday, Lacey?
Well, yesterday the drought commission had a meeting, and they made the decision to direct an additional $5 million into this cost-share program. Now, that decision is contingent upon approval from the governor, but it's exciting. It should double the money that we have going into the counties that have need. They told us from the beginning of the communication about the program that additional funds could be based on need. They gave $33,000 to each county, not district, but county, and said to turn in all your paperwork by the first week of December about who had applied, who had been approved for funding, list the alternates, and then they could have additional fund allocations based on need. So I've been trying to really publicize and talk up our program and encourage all the producers in my area to apply, because we want to seem needy. That's out of character for me normally, but we need to appear needy so they can give some more funds to us. I think it's a great opportunity for all of the counties across the state, which the general cost share program is always available to all the conservation districts. Some utilize it a lot more than others. And the program has grown drastically within the last couple of years, including the legislature's committed the funds for a longer term than had previously been. So that's all been exciting. And the normal cost share, where this is very drought specific, it is geared specifically for drought conditions. There's a much quicker time frame, and there's a few practices that they included that are not necessarily NRCS practices. So they have that's kind of a weird thing. We usually have to go by their specifications from NRCS. But the pasture tap and the pond clean out are two things that are, their guidance comes from the Conservation Commission rather than from NRCS in this special drought program.
I seen that, and I was, matter of fact, I'm looking at it right now. So right here is saying it's allowing producers of all livestock used to financially support a family to apply, increasing maximum payments for pond cleanouts. This is for 2022. Small ponds, $2,500. Medium ponds, $5,000. Large ponds, $7,500. Now, is that a cost share? That's just what they allow for you to clean out a pond. Help me out there.
So those numbers are what would normally be referred to as an NRCS average cost.
Oh, okay.
The payments are based on, for this program in Ellis County, it's based off 80% of the actual invoiced cost by your vendor or your contractor, or 80% of the NRCS average cost, whichever is least. The lease of those, less of those two amounts, not to exceed $7,500. So these pond clean out and the numbers that I sent you this morning, those are like an NRCS average cost, but they are a calculation that this drought commission has came up with. And I was very happy to see that those had changed. The original numbers that they listed to me seemed pretty low. And I hated it that it could be limited, the reimbursement for the producers in my area, if they chose those practices over some others.
Right. Well, they, let's see, I'm looking at it, and it's got that. And it's got for the taps. And yeah, the thing I'm wondering about, especially like in the area that I run around in out here in the rural Greer and Beckham County, is taps are going to be kind of hard to come by. So, and then, and this is like Cassandra said last week on the show, you know, getting somebody there to drill a water well is almost, you know, they're so backed up that, but I guess this is not just, you gotta sign up for it, what, in the next month or so, is that correct?
We're running our application time frame just until next Monday, okay. October the 24th. That gives us time to evaluate the applications and rank them and have a board meeting to set that list that we need to turn in to the state of Oklahoma.
Get off the chair and get busy right now.
I don't know what the deadlines are for any of the other conservation districts in the area.
I think they're all about the same.
It has to be in order for the processes to get done in time. Yeah. We have to turn in that information by December 2nd, and then it will be considered for additional allocations after that point. It was a concern of all of ours when we first got the initial deadline, because it does have a much quicker time frame than a normal cost share, that unless you are already on the waiting list for a water well driller, or there's someone sitting out there that's just not very busy, I don't really think that's the case, unless you can get them to change their waiting list order, it would be really difficult to get a well drilled within this time frame. It was frustrating to me. Sometimes I think the atmosphere of rural America is maybe not what's always seen and witnessed by some of our leaders. I'm sure there's a lot more water well drillers probably in central Oklahoma than there are way out here 10 miles from Texas. It does have to be a licensed driller. I've heard various information from a couple different sources how hard it's going to be, but the initial deadline for completion would be February 2nd. However,
that's my birthday.
Oh, happy early birthday, because I probably won't remember then.
Groundhog Day.
I've encouraged producers to go ahead and apply as a water well if you get in as a funded participant and it's just not feasible for your driller to get to you by then. Try to contact multiple vendors that you would be willing to work with. Get on their waiting list, and then you can write a formal written request for a deadline to be submitted to the district board for consideration.
That makes sense.
I have cautioned everyone. Extensions have been pretty easy in the past. I don't know that it's going to be a shoe-in granted if you haven't diligently tried to get things done by that date. The whole nature of this program is emergency, so
yes,
we want to act as quickly as possible.
Yeah, because right now we're basically in your email. Well, state climatologist Gary Manis, you know, Oklahoma is 100% in some kind of drought, whether it's D1, D2, D3, or D4.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I've witnessed it firsthand. You know, I hear about it. I've seen it on our lands. We've got ponds that are drying up. We don't need help 6 months from now. We need help now. So I'm so glad that this program has been released, and they're trying to work with us as much as possible to make it where it is truly feasible and usable and very beneficial in the situation that we're given. So in addition to them changing the pond clean out numbers, they've also dismissed their former guideline that the conservation district had to have a technical representative to actually go out and visually lay eyes on the site and verify that it was in a drought condition.
Yeah.
So that's going to lessen our workload in the coming weeks, and it's a no-brainer. I don't think there's any little pocket that's lush and green anywhere in Ellis County that should be excluded.
Yeah, not unless it had a water leak somewhere. So.
Exactly.
This is great. You could call her at the conservation district there. Most of you already know the number or how to get it, but if you got any questions, you know, she's talking about Ellis County, and we've mentioned some stuff about what's going on statewide. Every district, whether it's a county or not, is going to have something different. So don't be calling Woodward County saying Lacey said down there at Arnett that this is what's happening. Just call your district conservation office, ask them what they can do for you, and just take it from there. It's pretty easy.
Thank you. I appreciate you trying to keep me out of trouble.
No, I've got some people in trouble around here before, so I've learned my lesson, although it wasn't me, but I took the blame. But anyway, but also, do the districts, or do you have at your office, do you have a list of the water well drillers in your area?
What I usually try to utilize is the Oklahoma Water Resources Board website.
Okay.
They have a nice list that you can download and then filter and sort by city or location that are the licensed water well drillers, as well as licensed pump repairman and service companies, in order to work for a producer that's going to get reimbursed by the Conservation Cost Share Program. It does have to be a licensed service provider.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, and I look forward to talking to you again.
I definitely appreciate it, and hopefully we can talk again, but I probably won't remember your birthday. And I'll stop by sometime, so you know I really don't look like Lacey Lowe.
Well, all right. Well, you know, I hunt a lot out there west of Arnett, so I might stop by and surprise you.
Okay. Well, you might.
So anyway, well, you have a great day. And if there's anything we can ever do to help you here, don't be bashful. You got my email address. Send me an email.
All right. Thank you so much, Jimmy.
All right. Bye. That was Lacey Landers from the Ellis County Conservation District. Hey, got some money out there, guys. Call your conservation district and see. You have those ponds you need cleaned out. Water wells drilled. I know it's going to be tough getting water wells drilled, but hey, you never know. Contact people. There's some money available, so might as well use it because we got a deadline on it. It sounds like you need to get signed up this week. When I come back, I'll have the weather forecast for you from Hobart Farm and Garden, Long Ranger.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We handle add-ons, remodels, done a lot of remodels, kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, patios, built-ins, adding on additional rooms, even building a storage shop on your property. I've had a lot of people who own a lot and decide it'd really be nice to have a shop in my backyard to where I could go out and work. So we've built a lot of shops. It's very similar to a refinance. Basically, the process is the same from application and evaluation and things such as that. We look at what you're wanting to do, the plans and specifications. We can either use your existing equity. If it's there, we can just use the equity and save you a little money. If it's not there, if you're doing a major remodel and it's going to increase the value of your home and you want to reach out and tap into that future value, we can actually have it appraised as improved and base our loan off of that appraisal. I'm Joe Shepherd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
With a small farmer, a big farmer, if you can save a few dollars here and there over a course of a year or 2 years, it might be $1,000, it might be $2,000, it might be $50. I would like to keep my $50 and spend it on something else that I enjoy. I mean, that's the way my mind works. If I can save a few cents here and there, and at the end of the year I have $1,000 more, then I get to go enjoy it. Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. We have a 50-mile radius that we have free delivery, 500 gallons or more. If you want under 500 gallons, then we have a minimal charge.
500 gallons and free delivery, I mean, you can't ask for more than that. My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 17th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,776 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 244 brought 205. 11 at 506 brought 152.50. 8 at 616 brought 171. 5 at 655 brought 173. 8 at 706 brought 172.50. 15 at 737 brought 169. 17 at 889 brought 167. 11 head of heifers at 379 brought 167. 3 at 507 brought 158. 5 at 558
brought 155.50, 7 at 585 brought 157.50, 40 at 672 brought 153.25, 20 at 765 brought 162, 44 at 777 brought 160. Butcher cows were 10 to 82, butcher bulls brought 53 to 102. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. You can sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Thank you again, Lacey Lander from the Ellis County Conservation District, for coming on today. Appreciate it. Valuable information out there. If you snooze, you lose. Landowners, farmers, and ranchers, we're all in a drought right now. Take advantage of this. Call your local conservation office and sign up. Get something signed up, whether it's a pond dug out, tapping into a rural water line, or drilling a well. They're here to help. They got the money. If you can get it done, they'll pay for it, or at least cost share. Let me back up. Cost share. I didn't say pay for it. Cost share. Anyway, get that done. All right, let's check out what's happening. Let's start off with Northwestern Oklahoma first. Let me update this. Looks like there is a big red square. Freeze warning tonight. High 57 today. Freeze warning for tonight. Low around 31, and this is at the airport at Woodward. Tomorrow 72, Thursday 78, Friday 86, Saturday 85. So, wow. Anyway, there we go. All right, let's check out the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you for southwestern Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle. Today, 58, and tonight, 34, tomorrow, 66, Thursday, 77, Friday, 83, Saturday, 84. That's a little unusual. It's going to be warmer up north than it is down south, but it's all still going to be in the 80s. Guys are going to, I bet the peanut diggers are lined up, fueled up, oil checked, greased, ready to get started in the morning after this, see if this frost deal here goes by without any harm and get some peanuts dug, because it is that time of the year and get the going. Anyway, wheat's being sowed. I'm going to go get some wheat seed at Knoll Seed Company down in Hobart after the show today. Come back, finish up my little project for my neighbor, and then maybe get started on mine, get all my rat killing done on my wheat ground before my friends to the south call and say, hey, it's time to get on this thrasher or bring your baler or do something. So anyway, it's my favorite time of the year, fall peanut harvest. It's, I don't know. Just my fun time of the year. How's that? All right, it is Hay Day Tuesday. Let's check out some of the hay prices. I don't see any major change. If anything, it's gone up 10 to 20 bucks, and this is on reported sales to the USDA, not what Charles did with Larry next door over there in southeastern Beckham County yesterday. This is reported hay sales. Looks like California and Texas, and let me see here. Yeah, California and Texas are the highest states right now price-wise for alfalfa premium, anywhere from 340 to 440 bucks either state. That's for per ton premium. Let's check out our neighbors. Kansas, I don't know how they come up with these odd numbers, but some old boy sold somebody some hay for $221 a ton in Kansas. They range from anywhere from $221 not delivered to $325 delivered. Missouri's $180 to $300. New Mexico's $250 delivered to $400 even, not delivered. Oklahoma's ranging anywhere from $225 to $300 on premium alfalfa, and Texas is $330 to $450. Yeah, I think it's about it. Let's go scroll on down here and check out what's going on with grass. Nothing major there. Oklahoma, anywhere from 115 to 175 a ton for premium grass hay. And Texas is 240 to 330. Missouri is 175. Kansas, 125 to 165 a ton. New Mexico, nothing available there. Who's the highest on the grass? Oregon, $480 a ton they're getting for grass up there. And that's not delivered. That's just what they're... I did talk to a buddy of mine that's got some animals up in Oregon, and he said he was getting rid of his cattle. He ain't paying that crap. He said these the goat farmers up there was buying everything that they could get their hands on because goat milk is really popular in Oregon. So, interesting concept. So, anyway. All right. Well, tomorrow... got some special guests on here, be on here tomorrow, and then we'll talk some more about hay. Alfalfa acres are going backwards over the last 20 years, and got all that to talk about this week. Busy week in the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. You guys have a great day, and God bless.